hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Big day today, launching Blue Island Campus. Isn't that exciting? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 So very, very excited about that. Now, here's the deal. Amen. We have prayed today. Amen. As Pastor Tim led us in prayer, I believe miracles have already happened today. Those that wanted to receive from the Lord have received from the Lord. Those that wanted had faith for blessing. How many already feel like you've been blessed today? Amen, 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 amen. And so I believe now the Lord would want to speak to us. Amen. He would want to speak to us, and we pray a spirit of revelation yet again in the house of the Lord today. Amen. I'm going to need some more monitor, please. And I'm just going to flow in the Holy Ghost today. Amen. Stay plugging into the Holy Ghost, and I'm just going to help me preach. Amen. I do believe God's going to speak to us. Amen. Amen. One more time. Put your hands together. Give him praise. Last several services, the Lord's been dealing with us about the heart of worship. Somebody say the heart of worship. Specifically, what the Lord's been talking. Is it all right if I just kind of talk to us today? Amen. Specifically, what the Lord has been talking to us about is the fact that if we're not careful, we can confuse the demonstration of worship with actual worship. That's kind of been the crux of everything he's been demonstration of worship with actual. I don't want to confuse the demonstration of worship with actual worship. I don't want to think I'm worshiping when I'm really not worshiping. The Bible, we've talked about it, but the Lord says he's seeking true worshipers. If there's true worshipers, there's false worshipers. I don't want to be giving false worship. I want to be giving true worship. Amen. Jesus would say it like this, and we've read this a few times, but let me just read it again. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7, because this is the place we can get to if we're not careful. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. And so we see here that whereas worship is absolutely demonstrated by what we say and praise that leaves our lips, worship is absolutely demonstrated by the clapping of the hands, the lifting of the hands, the singing of our voice, the jump, the dance, the run, the shout. Worship is absolutely demonstrated by all of those things. We've got to understand that the only way those demonstrations become actual worship is if our hearts are totally submitted to the purpose and the plan of God. The only way all of those demonstrations become worship is if we have established God as being the preeminent ruler of our lives. Is if we have God and God alone as the one sitting on the throne of rulership and authority and ownership in our living. Oh, hallelujah. That is the only way we can then lift our hands and the lifting of our hands become worship. Oh, hallelujah. So it's not about the hands, it's about the heart of worship. Again, worship is ascribing the greatest worth that we have to give to God and to God alone. Somebody shout alone. Somebody say God alone. God alone. And for you and I to put God first in our lives is to understand that we cannot live how our flesh may want to live. Oh, hallelujah. I don't have much voice today, so this might be what you get, right? Just We cannot live how our flesh wants to live. For if he is first, then we have to become willing to submit ourselves to what and how he says to live, not how we want to live. Oh, hallelujah. Doesn't matter how I want to live. What matters is, what does he say? How does he say live? And whatever he says is right. And if what I say is contrary to what he says, then what I say is wrong. Doesn't matter how much I believe it. It doesn't matter how much I may try to prove it or justify it. If what I say is right is in contradiction to what he says is right, then I'm absolutely wrong. Oh, hallelujah. The book would say it like this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Followers of God. We are to follow God's lead. We are to follow God's direction. We are to follow God's pattern, God's instruction, God's commands as it applies to how we live, how we act, how we talk, how we carry out our living, how we present ourselves, what we think about. Followers of God. He's the leader. He's the ruler. He sits on the throne. He's the authority. We are to follow him. Oh, hallelujah. Not in some things, but in everything. Not in most things, but in everything. We talked about it on Thursday, but you cannot be a worshiper if you're not, and if I am not, obedient to everything that to this point God has instructed for us to do. Because partial disobedience is total disobedience. It doesn't matter if we're disobedient in two things, then we are disobedient in all things. This is what the Lord is trying to talk to us about. He said, I want you to be a follower of God. Again, not following after what we think is right, but following after what God says is right. Oh, hallelujah. Not according to what we think is an acceptable lifestyle, but according to what God says is an acceptable lifestyle. In fact, that word followers, therefore be followers of God. That word followers is a word that means to imitate. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You imitate my holiness. I want you to imitate my holiness. Be holy, for I am holy. So we see that it is not enough that we simply, I want somebody, I feel like the Lord spoke this to me earlier, that sometimes, especially people in the church world, sometimes our imitation of Christ or our following after Christ is based upon what our family's interaction with Christ has looked like. Now, this is so important, and I feel like God wants me to speak this to somebody. It's not enough to just worship and serve and live for God just like maybe what was patterned to us by our family history. Well, this is how my mama served God, so this is how I'm going to serve God. And because my mama served God this way, then it must be appropriate and right. And this is how Grandma Gertrude served God. So if she served God like this, then I'm just going to do what she did. How many know we're not to imitate Grandma Gertrude? That's not what the book says. I understand that we are to model and Christianity and model principles, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he did not say be a follower of grandma. He said we are to be a follower of God. See, because if we're not careful, we can pick up things from individuals who might not have been as spiritual. Doesn't mean we don't love them, but they might not have been as spiritual as they ought to have been. And we begin to pick up some things. And because there were some things that they said was appropriate or not appropriate, then we take upon ourselves the same thought process and the same mindsets. And we say, well, My family always said this was appropriate. Oh, come on now. The home I was raised in always said that this was okay and that this was acceptable. And I know, you know, this is being taught. And I know whatever. But in my family, this was always acceptable. Listen, it doesn't matter what your family did. Listen, you love them, and I'm thankful for it. And I love my family. But it doesn't matter what my mom did, what my dad did. They're godly individuals. But what I am to imitate is, be ye holy, for God is holy. My holiness is not based upon the level of my dad's holiness. My holiness is to be dictated on the level of God's holiness. So we've got to be very careful when it comes to these things, because if we're not, we can pick up the mindsets of family dynamics and the mindsets of other people that maybe we trust or that we love or that we respect. And because they say things are appropriate or not appropriate, then we begin to take upon those same values. And we've got to make sure that we are following Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody said amen. Be a follower of him. Because if we truly want to see the glory of the Lord, how many want to see his glory? How many know we were tapping into some of that glory today? Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If we want that, and if we want his presence to be made manifest in our lives in a powerful way, it's not going to be because of the shout alone. I told you a couple services ago, if you leave this series thinking I don't believe in shouting and dancing and running and hooping and hollering, you missed it somewhere. I absolutely believe in all of those things. I think we should be doing more of those things. But it's not, the glory of the Lord isn't released because of the shout alone, the dance alone. It'll be because we've submitted our hearts and our lives to where God and God alone is who we're striving to be like. Who we're striving to pattern our lives after. God and God alone. I want to be more like you today than I was yesterday. Why? Because you are the most, I ascribe the greatest worth to you. You are on the throne of my life. You are my ruler. You reign supreme. And so you're the one I want to be like. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And if somebody says something contrary other than what you are speaking to me about, then I'm going to put their voice aside and I'm going to listen to your voice. Why? Because they're not on the throne of my life. You're on the throne of my life. They're not my ruler. You're my ruler. Oh, hallelujah. Their voice isn't the loudest voice in my life. Your voice is the loudest voice in my life. And so that's what worship is all about. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. But what we have to understand is then once we have submitted ourselves totally and completely to God, and we have put him firmly on the throne of our lives, then the outward demonstrations of clapping and singing and shouting becomes worship unto the Lord and acceptable unto the Lord. And it is not vain worship. It is true worship. And the glory of the Lord is able to be revealed. When my hands clap and my heart is submitted, the glory of the Lord. The book would say it like this, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. Now, let me just stop right here just for a moment. Let's have a good little Bible study here today. Let me just stop here for a moment in order to remind us again that our love towards God is not shown by what we say. You could say, I love you, Jesus, a million times and not love him, because your love towards Jesus is not based on what you say. It's based on what you do. Jesus would say it like this, John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Because your love is not based on what you say, it's based upon what you do. It's not on the outward demonstration, it's on the obedience of the heart. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. If you love me, you're going to listen to me and me alone when I instruct you how to live. And you're going to be obedient to that. And so our demonstration of love towards God, again, is not so much in what we do when the praise singers are singing. That is not the demonstration of love, as much as it is our obedience to the word of the Lord. And I've pastored long enough to see a bunch of people throughout the years that, man, they'll come down here and jump and dance and sing great, and they don't love Jesus. They'll say they love Jesus, but they don't love Jesus. How do I know they don't love Jesus? It's because they're not being obedient to his commands. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've been in prayer, Pastor Ron, and I've been praying. I'm like, God, I love you. And the Lord checks me, and he said, if you love me, you would be doing this. And so then I got to stop. Okay. I don't really love you like I say I love you. And so then I got to stop and repent of the thing that he told me to do that I'm being unsubmitted to and disobedient to. And I got to repent of that so that I can then get back to the place where I truly love him and I've put him first in my life. Oh, hallelujah. I think it would do us all good to take an introspective look at our lives and ask God, God, do I truly love you or do I just say I love you? I don't want to just say I love you. I want to truly love you. So I want you to search my heart and show me every wicked way. Show me every disobedient way. Show me every unsubmitted way. Show me every way in my life I'm being disobedient to your commands. So that when I get down on an altar on Sunday and lift my hands and I want to worship you by saying, I love you, Jesus, that when those words leave my lips, it is in fact worship and not just noise. Somebody said amen. Oh, hallelujah. And so it is. I want you to see what happens when we become truly submitted to him in all these areas. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so we're keeping his commandments and we're being obedient to everything that he has revealed to us up until this point in our lives. Not just some of the ways, all of the ways. Not just some of them, all of them. Everything that he's told us. Because we have to understand, we're not graded like, you know, our high school teacher graded us. You see, the way they, and I was very thankful for it, by the way, in high school. Because I didn't have to get 100% to pass. I can get a bunch of stuff wrong and still move to the next level. That's not the way God operates. In the world we live in, we can get the majority of stuff right and move to the next dimension or the next level or the next grade or the next whatever. God says, that's not how I work. You don't get to go to the next level by having the majority of stuff right. You got to get everything right. Oh, hallelujah. You say, well, isn't that expecting a lot out of me? Absolutely. That's why he said, you're going to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. I'm not expecting anything less than everything you have. Take up your cross and follow me. You die daily. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So he's looking for obedience in everything. Everything. Not most things, everything. But I want to show you. This is what happens when we get to that point when we are obedient to God in everything that he has talked to us about. 1 Peter 1:8. Let's look at it again. Whom having not seen, ye love, which we just demonstrated and talked about all that. In whom though now you see him not, yet you believe. Ready? And because of that, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. You got so much joy and you're rejoicing, but notice what is in your rejoicing. Glory. Not a little glory. The fullness of glory. This, oh Jesus. I want you to see, when we truly love him and show him that love through full submission to his word, that is when our rejoicing will be full of his glory. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we can have a rejoicing that's absent of his glory. False worship. Or we can have a rejoicing that is full of his glory, true worship, and it has nothing to do with the demonstration of whatever worship looked like. It had everything to do with, do I love him? And love is not a word, it is an action. So if I'm submitted and obedient to him, my rejoicing allows the glory of the Lord to fill the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want the glory. This is why we felt what we felt today. Because there's a bunch of people who the last couple weeks have been going on a little journey. And you've been asking God, God, where have I been disobedient to you in? And you've been changing those things. And you've been repenting for those things. And now all of a sudden you come to the house of the Lord. And your demonstration of worship did not look any different. You pray. You lift your hands. I mean, there's only so many ways you can lift your hands. There's only so many ways you can clap your hands. There's only so many words we know to praise the Lord, and we say those words, right? It looked very similar, but it was different. What was different? The glory of the Lord. The greater glory of the Lord was attached to it. Why? Not because of what you did, but because of what you've done the last 3 weeks. Jesus. So what you have to understand, and what I have to understand is this. Is this okay? Everybody good? Is if we can see this progress in 3 weeks, what if we continue to progress for 6 months? Come on, somebody. What if we continue to progress for 6 years? Can you imagine? What we felt today was powerful and awesome. But what if we continue to progress in this revelation for another 6 weeks and another 6 weeks and another? Can you imagine what kind of experiences of God's glory we're going to begin to feel in this house if we as a people allow ourselves to become submitted to the word of the Lord like we've never been submitted to the word of the Lord before? His glory has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with us. So we can't get all frustrated at God. I just wish he'd show us more of your glory. I just wish our services would be more powerful. I just wish we'd have greater revival. I just wish we'd have greater harvest. No, it has nothing to do with God. Nothing. Has everything to do with us. Everything. How much do we want his glory to be revealed? Oh, Jesus, help us right now. What we want is for that to be predicated on his will. Because then when we don't see the fullness of his glory, it's on him. And it takes all the pressure off of us. It's not about me. If God wanted to do it, he would have done it. And God says, no. You are thinking completely contrary to my word. My glory revealed in your midst has everything to do with you. See, now, are we willing to take that upon ourselves, take the responsibility of his glory off of him and put it on us, and then become willing to do that which is necessary to see the fullness of his glory? Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You see, this isn't the stuff you can just shout about. I mean, that point right there, yeah, you could have stood and clapped and shouted and hooped and hollered. But none of that would have mattered. None of that would have then in turn caused the glory of the Lord to fall. What matters is, what do we do tomorrow? What do we do Tuesday? Man, we could clap all about, glory, But that doesn't do nothing except your amen is being seen in the spiritual dimensions. by both heaven and hell. But what matters is it's the release of glory is dependent on our actions throughout the week. Amen. So if the Lord is looking for true worshipers, I want to be a true worshiper. I want to be a true worshiper. And I want this church to be full of true worshipers. And in order to do that, we have to understand what it takes to become a true worshiper. Because we may have had wrong thought processes of what it was to be a true worshiper. And then we need to begin to live out our lives accordingly. It's all about aligning our flesh under the authority of God's word. Submitting our desires to the preeminence of his commands. That's what worship is. It's about humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's worship. That's worship. It's about demonstrating. It's not necessarily just that which is outwardly, but what is happening inwardly. It's about obedience. It's about submission. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you thought when I said we're going to do a series on worship that I was going to be talking about clapping and singing and jumping and dancing? And there's nothing wrong with that. And I may at some point, I don't know. And I have, and I've done it in the past, and the different praise words and what they mean and on and on and on. And that's all biblical and it's all right and that's all good. But we have to understand what worship really is. It's obedience. It's submission to the things of God. It's crucifixion of flesh in order to be aligned with the will and the purpose and the plan of God. Oh, hallelujah. Because more than just having good church, I want the glory of the Lord to fill this house. And we had good church today. Yeah, good church today. Good church today. Good church today. I don't want good church. I want the glory of the Lord. Mm. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But how many know we can become satisfied with good church? We can become satisfied with good church, and seeing a couple people get the Holy Ghost baptized every once in a while, good worship, services, you know, good music, whatever. Satisfied with good church. There needs to be some people in the room, and I know you are here, and I feel it in my spirit, that are joining with me right now and saying, Pastor, we're not satisfied with good church. We want the glory of the Lord like we've never experienced before. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We sang about it today. Show me your glory. I want us to talk about this for a moment. If we want the glory to be revealed in a fashion and in a manner like we've never seen it before, it's only going to be because we're obedient to the word of the Lord when it says this. Pastor Brosom mentioned it last night in our prayer, and I want to mention it now. This is the only way it's going to happen. Greater glory because of this verse, John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Do we want him to increase in this place? Then we must decrease. His glory and his presence is not going to increase just because we sing the latest songs. It's not going to increase because we sing them well. It's not going to increase because we come down to the front and clap and dance and jump and shout. No. His increase of his glory will become a reality by the decrease of our flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That's it. That's the only way. That's the only way. It's the only way. My will decrease so his will can increase. My way has to decrease so that his way can increase. My fleshly glory has to decrease so his spiritual glory can increase. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody said amen. Let me show you what I feel like the Lord has revealed to me the other day. I appreciate you paying attention today. I know I'm not yelling and screaming, but God's talking to us. Let me show you what I feel the Lord revealed to me the other day. I'm going to need your minds a little bit these next few moments. Speaking of the glory of the Lord, Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18. Moses speaking, he said, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, so he's having this conversation with the Lord, and he says, Lord, show me your glory. And then the Lord responds back and he said, I will make all my goodness to pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And I'll show mercy on them that I'll show mercy. And he said, now watch what the Lord speaks, having this conversation with Moses. And he says, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man, somebody say flesh, no man, flesh, no man shall see me and live. And so the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes you by, that I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass you by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face, he's already told him this once, but now he's going to tell him again, my face shall not be seen. So here we see, stay with me now, here we see that Moses had asked to see the glory of the Lord. But the Lord instructs him of the fact that no man, no flesh, can see the fullness of my glory. Again, two different times, he wanted him to know and understand, Moses, no flesh can see my face. No flesh can see my face. So the Lord puts Moses in the cleft of a rock, and then he passes by him, and he allows Moses to see the effects of his presence. For the Lord told Moses that he would allow him to see his back parts. And when he said that, back parts, he was simply telling him that he would allow him to see where he had been, what he had accomplished, or the effects of his glory. Does that make sense? He said, you can't see me. You can't even see my glory. He said, you're going to be able to see the effects of my glory, or what my glory has the power to produce. Moses, I can't show you my face, for the best that I can do in this moment is to simply show you what my glory can accomplish. Stay with me now. And as great as that was, and man, what a moment, right? What a moment. And as powerful as that encounter must have been, the truth remains that the flesh of Moses was only able to see the effects of God's glory and not the glory itself. For flesh cannot have the greater encounter with the glory of the Lord. Why? Because his glory and our flesh cannot coexist at the same time. Jesus, help us right now. He said, I can't show you my glory, Moses. No man can see my glory. No flesh. Flesh and glory cannot operate in the same place. Come on, Jesus. Paul would write to the church at Corinth these words, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. In other words, either our flesh is going to glory, or our flesh is going to be first, or our flesh is going to be supreme, or the presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord is going to be first, and the glory of the Lord is going to be supreme. And the glory of the Lord is going to be authority. But they cannot both be supreme at the same time.